Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. At its best moments, one image captured by still photography can encapsulate a moment, a story, an event, or even an era. And no one was better at doing so in the 1930s and 40s than photographer Dorothea Lange. Her iconic image, Migrant Mother, in one shutter click, told a much larger story than one family suffering in a California migrant camp. Told countless stories of countless families who had left hard times in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Texas, only to find equally hard times in California. Equally, her 1933 photo, White Angel Breadline, her first photo taken about the effects of the Great Depression, communicates the frustrations and hopelessness of hundreds and thousands of jobless in the country. Lange was among a group of photographers who helped tell unknown stories of the Depression in rural America, and she did it in a way that transcended documentary and became art. The Gilcrease Museum's latest exhibit features Dorothea Lange's photography, along with other Depression-era photographers, including Arthur Rothstein and Russell Lee, who worked here in Oklahoma. Dorothea Lange's America is on display at Gilcrease through January 5th with over 50 photographs by Lange and her contemporaries. I'm joined today by the curator of history at the Gilcrease Museum, Mark Dolph, to talk about the new exhibit at Gilcrease. Mark Dolph, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich. It's always a pleasure to join you here at KWGS.
The new exhibit at Gilcrease features the photographic work of Dorothea Lange. Dorothea Lange created some of the most iconic images of the Great Depression that sort of defined how we think about the Depression to this day. Tell us a little bit about her.
She's always been one of my favorite artists, and I will say artist. Photography is an art form, in my opinion. She was born in New Jersey. Early in her life, she was stricken with polio, and then her father left the family. So she experienced some hardship early on that I think maybe informed her outlook and the way that her career unfolded in photographs that show people in stress, in dire straits, which is certainly what you'll see in the exhibition. As a young woman, her mother had encouraged her to become a teacher. She said, no, I'm going to be a photographer, before she had ever taken a photography class. She will end up in San Francisco, again, as a young woman. She will fall in with some of the photographers out there, meet Maynard Dixon, the painter, who will become her first husband, and very quickly will establish a very successful portrait studio. And that's where she gets her start, is as a portrait photographer, and will quite soon be photographing the moneyed elite of San Francisco. But what will happen beginning on October 29th, 1929, stock market crash, Black Tuesday, she will see around her what is happening in America, and thus the title of this exhibition, Dorothea Lange's America. And we get to see through the lens of her camera, as well as the cameras of 11 other contemporaries of Dorothea Lange, what was happening around the country. And so Dorothea Lange will leave her successful portrait photography business and literally head out to the streets and begin taking photographs of America.
So it was literally an abrupt change, even though I know that when she first went to San Francisco, she befriended Ansel Adams and Imogene Cunningham. She was basically a portrait photographer until events said, I have to document this.
That's right. And we have a quote on the wall that's on our, what we refer to now in the museum as our migrant mother wall. It's a quote from one of her contemporaries, Willard Van Dyke, who she met out in San Francisco. And the quote is, Miss Lange's real interest is in human beings, and her urge to photograph is aroused only when human values are concerned. And I think that speaks volume to what she was all about.
You know, I think in this show, and in it's very seldom to actually see a landscape photograph. I think there's one landscape photograph in this show, and that gives you a sense of the fact how important the human form was. And when you first walk into the show, one of the very first images you see was one of her earliest, and it became iconic. It was from 1933. It was among her first Depression photos of a breadline. And of course, the poignant part of this photograph is this gentleman with a hat over his head, you know, not looking at the camera, but still you can tell he has this sort of thousand-mile stare off into space, and that is the focus of the photograph.
That's right, Rich. That photograph is White Angel Redline. The White Angel was a San Francisco philanthropist that provided the funding for the Redline. And again, as this portrait photographer, that being her background, she captures the essence. That's the truth she wants to tell in that one face, set against all the other people that all but maybe one have their backs to us.
Yeah, and somewhat out of focus, mm-hmm, too. Mm-hmm. It's a very poignant mm-hmm. photograph.
And again, one of my motivations for wanting to bring this exhibition to Gilchrist Museum was my respect for Dorothea Lange, but I think she's often pigeonholed as a documentary photographer. She is a great photographer. She's a fine art photographer. Whether it is some of the landscapes that you see, or often the landscape is a background for the portrait, in many of these, I would argue that's the case. But as you've already noted, it is that human face that connects us to these people, that creates the empathy that we need to understand what they were dealing with at this time.
Now, you mentioned the migrant mother wall. This is probably her most iconic photograph. It was taken in 1936 through a bit of serendipity. But you begin to see the process through this wall, because we think of the one photograph. No, you know, she didn't take one photograph. She took a bunch of photographs when she discovered this migrant camp off the highway. In fact, I think if I recall correctly, authorities were unaware that that migrant camp even existed. Tell us the story of Migrant Mother and why that photograph's important.
Well, let me, as a part of my discussion, plug our program next Friday, September 20th, where I will be speaking at our Gilchrist Forum. And the program is titled Dorothea Lange's Migrant Mother, Art or Propaganda? And we'll go through this process. But Dorothea Lange had been on the road for months there in the late winter of 1936, and she was headed home. She was tired. She was headed home. And she drove by what you've mentioned was this pea picker camp, migrant camp, and she's tired. She just continues on. But about 20 miles on, she decides, I've got to go back, and I've got to at least check this out. And so, as you indicated, there's a series of photographs. The first that we have, that we've added to this show, is what that camp looked like as she drove in. And then the series of photographs that she took that will eventually become Migrant Mother. And I think while it's so important to bring this step-by-step process to our visitors, is again back to this point that, well, she just came in and she saw this woman with the child and took the photograph and she's on her way. Well, no, this is a very composed photograph, and it took several steps to get to where we have Migrant Mother, this iconic image. That the first image you see is the family out in front of their tent, and then she gets closer and closer. And then you realize she is a portrait photographer, and she essentially comes to the understanding that it is this face, this woman, that is going to tell the story that I want to tell. And at the time, Dorothea Lange did not know this woman's name. All indications are she did not ask her name, but Florence Owens Thompson, the mother, who was born around Tahlequah, Oklahoma, lived in the Tulsa area for a while, went to California, then came back, and then eventually went back to California. What you see in this is both the struggles that this woman has dealt with, is going to continue to deal with in raising her family, but also her dignity and her strength. And understanding how Dorothea Lange got to that, I think, is fascinating.
It really is. And then when you see this series of photographs, you see the camp, you see her hone in on that particular tent, and, you know, the mother is far in the distance still, and then it's, you know, she gets closer, closer, closer. And then, of course, there are a number of versions of Migrant Mother. Of course, this is the one that we all know, but there are other versions with different croppings that aren't as powerful as Migrant mm-hmm. Mother became.
Well, and the image itself has even been appropriated and used in all kinds of ways, with different ethnicities. But again, it's that core scene of the Madonna mother and child kind of image. In fact, the next to the last image that she took, the next to the last photograph she took, I have to believe most photographers would have said, that's the money shot. Yeah. I'm done. I don't need to do any more. And she does one more. Yeah. And it takes it from an A-level piece to this iconic piece of the Great Depression.
By this time, she was working for the Farm Security Administration. And what was the purpose of sending not only her, but a number of photographers that we know as iconic today out through the country?
Well, Rich, the Farm Security Administration and its predecessor, the Resettlement Administration, were New Deal agencies. They were created to initially deal with the tenant sharecroppers that were being pushed off the land as a result of many things. I mean, the Great Depression is just part of what's happening in agricultural America.
You also have a sense of mechanization.
Yes, and the film that we've added, The Plow That Broke the Plains, really deals with this and makes the point that the Dust Bowl was a man-made disaster in large part because of the mechanization of agriculture, as well as being out on the plains, probably where we should have never turned the grass upside down. But these agencies were created to help farmers. Well, to help these farmers was going to require political action on the part of the U.S. Congress. And so Franklin Roosevelt, being the astute politician that he was, understood that you need a propaganda campaign, and I use the word propaganda in the best sense, mobilizing public
opinion. Another word would be a lobbying campaign.
Yeah. But to convince Congress to provide the funds to help these people. So how can you bring this suffering that's happening across the country home to Congress? You enlist this corps of photographers to document what's happening. And every congressional district across the country had people in these dire circumstances. And when they can see it through photography of Lang and these other skilled photographers, it eventually will make a difference, and Congress will appropriate the funds to begin the programs that will help these people.
Now, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that Dorothea Lang contracted polio at a young age and always walked with a limp. I understand that she used that fact, not necessarily used it, but it helped gain sympathy with the people she was photographing. Because, frankly, let's think about it. If you're on the road, you know, you're down to your last dollar, the last thing you want is a photographer, you know, snapping photos of her. But she used that to gain empathy with her subjects and some sort of shared connection with her subjects.
Yes, Rich, I think you used the key word empathy, that someone in such desperate straits as Florence Owens Thompson, while they never really had any kind of formal introduction, I think there was probably this sense of a shared bond through that disability, the limp as a result of polio, that Dorothea Lange could connect to people on a very personal issue, which allowed her into their lives, and that's what you see through these photographs. So I don't want to say that she took advantage of that, but just the background of her life, her lived experiences, allowed her a kind of entree into these lives that she documented that maybe other photographers might not have had.
And there was one other influence, and that was her second husband, Paul Taylor, who was a professor of economics at Berkeley. In fact, by the time she takes Migrant Mother, they're, if not married, they're together and traveling all over the country together, documenting these subjects.
Yes. Paul Taylor was an economist, PhD economist, University of California, Berkeley. He initially came into contact with Dorothea Lange through an exhibition of her works at a gallery there in San Francisco. And these were her early Depression-era works before she had joined the Resettlement Administration, which began in 1935. So a work like White Angel Breadline from 1933, these are before that agency has been created. And so he sees these works. Well, his field of study was migrant workers. So there's this perfect marriage, no pun intended, between what Dorothea Lang was doing in the field with her camera and the kinds of academic studies that he was doing on migrant workers and their displacement as a result of the Depression. And so they come together and they reinforce each other. It really was a marriage made in heaven as far as their works are concerned.
And of course, one of the things they would do would be travel all over California And so many of those became important pictures. There's one in the show called Girl with Mattress Springs, which I'd never seen before. But again, this is one of these pictures from the road as they're going out in Southern California from that, you know, that stretch along Route 66 of people heading west. And they captured numerous examples of families alongside the road, stopping to cool off their vehicles, and just documenting this flow of refugees.
Mm-hmm. As Woody Guthrie would say, these Dust Bowl refugees. In fact, we will have Woody Guthrie's music playing in the first gallery that a visitor enters, along with the original manuscript that the Guthrie Center's allowed us to use of This Land Is Your Land. And you see the connection between Guthrie and what Lang is doing. Guthrie certainly has experienced the Okie-Arkie migration. Once he's out in California, he sees these people. They are his people. And being able to see his creative process in creating This Land Is Your Land, you see one of the stanzas that he crosses out, he doesn't use. Well, we've added that quote on the wall in another of the additions that we've made to the exhibition, what I call the Oklahoma and the Great Depression Gallery, where we've added 28 images taken by Dorothea Lange, Russell Lee, and Arthur Rothstein while they were in Oklahoma. You know, a lot of people I don't know realize that Dorothea Lange was in Oklahoma, and she recorded some invaluable images of Oklahomans struggling with the Great Depression. And you see this quote of Guthrie above these images, and he's speaking of his people standing in the shadow of the chapel or the steeple, waiting to be helped in a bread line.
My guest today is Mark Dolph, the curator of history at Gilcrease Museum. Gilcrease features Dorothea Lange's America. It's on display now through January 5th, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Throughout the show, you see a number. I see what was interesting. I'm pretty familiar with Dorothea Lange's work, but there was a number of new pieces I don't think I've ever seen. One, which is not surprising, is a really heartrending scene from a migrant labor camp in the San Joaquin Valley. It's called Death in the Doorway. Tell us about this photograph.
Well, you see this building, a frame building. It looks vacant, and there's a body laying in front of the door. And Dorothea Lange records in her field notes, and many of these images have her notes that accompany them. Again, adding that level of experiencing the Great Depression with Dorothea Lange or the other photographers. But she notes that two boys were out playing in front of the church, either unaware or unconcerned with this body that had just been left there. And so we're left to wonder, how did that body get there? Was this a migrant that just gave up? Gave out? Was there some crime involved? We don't know. We don't know the story. But it's a chilling image. And in that same space is a woman. You see her face, again, the portrait, through the window of a hearse going to a funeral.
Yeah. One image that I don't think I've ever seen before, but it's kind of interesting because it's the ultimate irony. It's called Rural Landscape with the Grapes of Wrath Billboard. Tell us about the irony.
Well, the irony is the images that Dorothea Lange and these other photographers were taking, but I think primarily Dorothea Lange, in many ways inspired John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath. And so what you see in this photograph is a billboard promoting the just released book, The Grapes of Wrath, the novel by John Steinbeck, and this desolate landscape in the background, the kind of image that inspired Steinbeck in the first place, and then John Ford's film of the same story just a year or so later. So there's, I don't know if it's an unintended irony. I think
no,
there's probably very intentional on Lang's part, but there's this very symbiotic relationship between what Lang and these other photographers are doing and The Grapes of Wrath. And then once the book comes out, the movie comes out, and this is toward the end of the Depression, just before America enters World War II. But the Farm Security Administration, I think, realizes what they have on their hands. And so they want to prove that The Grapes of Wrath is not, it is fiction, but it's not really fiction. This is happening. So photographers like Russell Lee will create this whole portfolio to back up the story that Steinbeck tells, that the Jodes from Salisaw, Oklahoma, are fictional only in name, that this is a real tragedy happening out here.
You mentioned Russell Lee a couple of times, and this is another part of the exhibit, which you only see Dorothea Lange's work during the 1930s. And of course, you see other work that she did later as well, but some of her most important work was during this time. You also see some of her contemporaries like Arthur Rothstein, Ben Shawn, Walker Evans, Marion Post Walcott, and Russell Lee, which I should mention, Russell Lee spent a great deal of time here in Oklahoma.
He did. I'm going to guess, I don't know for sure, but I would say he probably took more images in Oklahoma than any of these other resettlement administration or farm security administration photographers. And we have several in the Oklahoma gallery, a Hooverville. For folks that don't know what a Hooverville, that's these camps of unemployed people, migrant workers, and so forth. There was a huge Hooverville estimated to have over 10,000 people in Oklahoma City along what Russell Lee calls Mays Avenue. We call it May Avenue today, down along the South Canadian River. And it was this sprawling encampment. He captures several images of the camp, as did Dorothea Lange, and we have in the exhibition. It's a nice opportunity to compare and contrast the styles of these two photographers. I would say, to my eye, Russell Lee is much more the documentary photographer.
He's capturing the tar paper shack and the fact that they're, you know, using newspapers as wallpaper, those sorts of details of how the people live their life, where I think Dorothea Lange's
more, she shows you that, but it's more the background. Her focus, pun intended, is always on the human element. There is one photograph, or actually it's two, by Lange. First you see the family, the mother, a young boy, and his young sister. And then she has just the sister, the young child. And in her field notes, she refers to this child as damaged child. And you look at this little girl, she's probably 10 or so years old. She's wearing a burlap sack as a dress. All of these people that you see, they're barefoot. They are at the very edge of existence.
Yeah. My guest today is Mark Dolfe. He's curator of history at the Gilcrease Museum and the curator for the showing of Dorothea Lange's America, which is on display at Gilcrease through January 5th, featuring a traveling show, but also a number of images from other places brought in for this show. And we talked about Arthur Rothstein, and Rothstein's probably most iconic image comes from Oklahoma, actually, the Far Panhandle, and it's a dust bowl, dust storm in action. Or
yes, I would argue that as far as images of the Great Depression go, after Migrant Mother, maybe after White Angel Breadline, that Rothstein's images from Cimarron County, Oklahoma, have defined Oklahoma and our experience through the Dust Bowl. And we have, I think, six images that we've added of Rothstein in the exhibition that are all out there in the Cimarron County area. And I think the one you're referring to, Rich, is the father and his two little boys, yes, struggling against the wind in this dust storm to make it into one of the farm buildings. But there's another that just breaks my heart every time I see it. It's the youngest of these two boys standing out there alone. And Rothstein, he had a really good eye. He's right up there with Dorothea Lange as a photographer. There's another photographer featured that I was not familiar with at all. His name was Michael Disfarmer, but he was born Mike Myers in Heber Springs, Arkansas. And he so disliked the rural agrarian lifestyle that he grew up in. As a young adult, he legally changed his name to Michael Disfarmer, not a farmer, and claimed that a tornado had picked him up as a child, deposited on the Myers family farm, and the first chance he got, he came back to civilization. But that he eventually establishes a little portrait photography studio in Heber Springs, Arkansas. He's using a little 3x5 format camera, and so that there are four images, and he captures the time and place of Heber Springs, Arkansas. You are there, standing in front of these images. They're wonderful.
And that's the other part of the show, which shows not only her contemporaries, but people who might have been influenced by her, or in some cases, who predate her. I know there's photographs from the 1920s as well from one of the photographers in this particular section of the show. We should also get back to Dorothea Lange for a moment, because, you know, when we think of Dorothea Lange, we think of her Depression-era photographs, but She continued to make photographs. Life became more difficult as she aged, and it was difficult for her to get out in the environment. But there's examples of her trip to the Amana Society in Iowa. She documented that culture. She documented culture in the American South. She, even after the war, she did wartime photographs in the Manzanar, California, of the Japanese internment camps. And then after sort of a fallow period, she went to Indonesia, and her photography changed, I think, utterly. I think it's far more artistic. And there's several images from Indonesia in this show.
Yes, there's one of a Indonesian dancer, a woman dancer, and what you see in the image is the hand. Now, the portrait has become the hand. So it's almost this abstraction, this reducing the body down to an essential element. And that is the next to the last image in our show. The very last is another portrait, but it is hands covering the face. And the title of the work is Bad Trouble Over the Weekend. And as soon as you see the image, you'll know why that title is so appropriate. That was done a year before she passed away. A remarkable life. At the time of her death, the Museum of Modern Art in New York was creating a retrospective of her work. She didn't live to see it open, but that gives you an idea of just how important she was in her lifetime, let alone now in retrospect.
Well, what do you hope viewers will take away from this exhibit?
First, I hope they take away, if they're not really familiar with Dorothea Lange, an understanding of what a talented, skilled photographer she was. Just as I think, as the Great Depression was consuming this country, we had the right political leader in Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That's my opinion. We had someone like Dorothea Lange capturing the trials and tribulations of Americans of the period. And to gain a greater appreciation of Lange as both a photographer, but also as someone so concerned with the human condition. And she leaves a successful portrait studio life and literally goes into the streets to document what's happening. So that would be the first thing. The other, because we spent a lot of effort in trying to bring home, so to speak, the exhibition to Oklahoma. There are probably half the images deal with Oklahoma and Oklahomans and our experience through the Great Depression. You know, the Great Depression began 90 years ago next month. October 29, 2019 will be 90 years. There are very few people alive today that have lived through the Great Depression. My parents did. My grandmother did. That's how I know the Great Depression. But I probably live a life based on their experience. I don't waste much. And I think most people that grew up with parents or grandparents that lived through the Depression, they have those kind of experiences. So for those of us that didn't live through the Great Depression, I hope the exhibition gives all of us a chance to realize that this was a transformative, as horrible as it was a transformative time in our history. I view it as this crucible that will form the modern America. We are still living 90 years later in a world made by Franklin Roosevelt's programs that were put in place to try to humanize, at least ameliorate the effects of the Great Depression.
Mark Dolph, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Mark Dolph is the curator of history at the Gilcrease Museum. Gilcrease features the photography of Dorothea Lange and several of her contemporary Depression-era photographers in an exhibit titled Dorothea Lange's America, which is on display at Gilcrease through January 5th. You can learn more at gilcrease.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed any one of our recent programs or missed part of today's program, you can listen online on demand anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.